Everybody jump, 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 jump. I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yes, it is Friday. It is the wrap. It is time to talk with a couple of friends who are joining me here in studio to just, you know, mull over the news. And, you know, honestly, we got Larry Johnson here, is the owner of the Azalea Lounge and the longest operating liquor
bar in the city of Pensacola.
Yeah. That's
maybe,
right.
Maybe and anywhere best. Around, really. Oh, yeah. And the best. Thank you very much. We are the best bar around.
We really
Cocktail
didn't think
Lounge.
This through.
You'll lift
through.
My ban.
Yeah, we'll lift your ban if you behave.
We really didn't That'll think this through. Long. We should have been doing the rap at the bar this morning. That would have been so much better. But,
right,
you know.
If you do that, I'll dance on the tables.
Oh,
just come on out.
Well, we'll All stay right. here in studio then.
Well, I won't wear my leopard skin thong, I promise.
Wow, it's already there. Larry B. Johnson, former city councilman and owner of the Z. Craig Heinzman is also here. Are you allowed to stay after all that, Craig?
No, I think I have to go now. No, Absolutely.
So he is the community pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Best church?
Let's just start with that. It seems like there's a relatively significant day coming up fairly soon.
Is there?
Yeah,
I'm not certain.
I think
yes, Easter. Oh, no, that's true. Yes.
I'm at the Final Four, but okay,
yes.
Fine.
Oh, well, that's true, the Final Four.
So
as well.
Easter coming up, what, a week from Sunday, right?
It is, yeah, a week from Sunday. We've got the sunrise service down at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, something we've been doing now for 11 years. We talked a little bit about quality of life, and that's just one of the things that we love to see happen is the community come together, those believers and non-believers, and you know, come together in a great day at a great an awesome place that has really helped revitalize our community, the stadium and the team. So we're glad to partner with that. 6:15 next Sunday.
God, that's so early.
It
said
is.
The guy who's on air at 5 a.m.
Well, the cool thing is this year there's a game Saturday night.
We were talking
about
nice.
That. So that's nice, except that no, we cannot set up anything before 10 o'clock that night, 10:30. So the entire stage, light, sound, everything has to be set up from 10 to 5 in the morning.
Oh, gosh.
So we will be working all
through
night
the
long.
Night.
Through the night, yep.
You're going to be the Lionel Richie crew.
Yes.
All night long. All right, so that's kind of cool. That's coming up. Anything with the Z, Larry?
Well,
you
the
announce?
Z, yeah, we got a crawfish boil on April 22nd, Cubs Crawfish, one of our great local businesses. You know, we love to support local business
yeah.
in our community that employ people and pay taxes and Clay out there at Cubs Crawfish does a great job, and he'll be at the Z April 22nd. So please come out and get a cold one and eat some crawfish. Other things in the city I'd like to mention real quick and is the skateboard park ribbon cutting.
Whoop, whoop.
Is May May 2nd. Great thing.
Long time coming.
Have either of you seen the park in person yet?
I have seen it in passing. Like, I've driven by it, but I haven't been able to get on the grounds.
I've been in there. It's amazing. It's just fantastic. It really is. It's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited to, you know, run the risk of hurting myself along with a whole bunch of other people in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, my service on the city council was 10 years, and that project got started by John Schill, and I was part of the council at that time when he brought that before the council, and I'm glad to see that thing just about done and ready for kids to enjoy and everybody to enjoy, really. The other thing that's going on...
And by the way, that's one of these, like, it's a great amenity if you skate.
Right.
But people who have kids...
Absolutely.
And tournaments, you know, competitions, and it's just another example of this kind of the place-making concept. If you make a place where people want to be, then money and businesses and... These days with remote workers, all the other stuff flows behind that because what people are doing these days is deciding, where do I want to live? And so you got to have a place where people want to live, right?
Absolutely. We used to talk about quality of life issues, and your other guest and I were just talking about that before we went on air. You know, Pensacola and cities are just not all about potholes and right. paving roads
yep.
and all. There has to be quality of life there.
Yep.
To bring people to our community. The other exciting thing
it's kind of, you know what, I'm sorry, I've interrupted you twice now, Larry, but it's kind of reminds me of the old philosophy of, you know, if all you ever do is put out fires and you don't take time to plant trees, you're going to lose the whole forest eventually anyway.
Sure.
So if all you're
that's
ever
true.
Doing
yeah.
is fixing the roads and the potholes and the basic maintenance and, you know, cop stuff, that's fine. But that's not the creative part that makes a place worth living in.
Well,
right?
And I think so many people, John should be commended because he had an idea. He knew it could benefit the community, and he stuck with it through all the headaches.
Yeah.
You know, and how cool is it for him to be able to see this and go, finally, something that's going to make Pensacola better opening up. I'm just so proud of him. And
I love his comment. He said that, you know, there are people who were kids when we started this project and they have been advocating for all these years.
Yeah,
and
right,
they're now adults getting ready to start having their own kids, and they can finally use the skate park and be
it
out there.
It shouldn't take that long, honestly, for a good idea to come to fruition. It should not get that way. We were talking about the tennis courts. I mean, those things should be a priority for cities. I agree completely.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other exciting thing happening to our city is that Roger Scott tennis courts, the rebuild of the 12 hard courts, are being done right now. I was over there a few days ago, and they have the old courts have been torn up. They were not safe. David Maya, who does a great job, who ran the wheelchair open here in Pensacola. And we have people from all over the world that would come to the Pensacola to play at the wheelchair open.
Right.
Hopefully we can get that restarted and get these courts done. But again, it's you know, the Roger Scott is a Roger Scott tennis facility is busy all
the phenomenal.
Time.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
absolutely
unbelievable. And we had some pushback on building the clay courts there, and I'm a tennis player, obviously.
Well, price tag, right? That's the whole issue is price tag.
Well, that too, and I think
maintenance and upkeep,
it is. And Brock Sakey, the tennis pro out there, does a great job. So, you know, you got the skateboard happening. We got the new tennis courts at Roger Scott. Another thing I was talking about with the city, I'm real happy that Mayor Reeves has hired a grant writing staff. You know, I was talking to one of the staff members over at the Institute of Human and Machine Cognition, and we're so very lucky to have Ken Ford in that facility here in our community. And I said, now, how are y'all finding funding for the new addition across the street? And they said that they went after Triumph money and some other
funds.
So, you know, we haven't had a grant writer in the city of Pensacola for a while, and I applaud Mayor Reeves for recognizing that and doing something about it, because there's grant money out there to make this community even better,
right,
to do these things, and we need to have someone that has expertise in that field and go after the money.
Well, and if you've ever tried to go out for a grant and you don't write grants, the process
is a whole other language and process, right?
Absolutely insane. So to have somebody finally in Pensacola that can do that, and then we're just, it's not free money, obviously, but it's not
available
taxpayer money.
Right,
generally. And so we're getting benefit just from these two hires already, so which is great.
Yeah, no, we'll come back to this in just a second because it's an important topic. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
Not showing any slowdowns or delays right now, accident free. Certainly, if you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know and text in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back on the wrap here with Larry Johnson and Craig Heinzman. This grant writing thing is kind of interesting because, you know, Santa Rosa County has a really good grants writer. I was in leadership Santa Rosa with one of their grants writers, and she's super, super capable. But then the city of Pensacola under Mayor Reeves has now figured out, oh, well, this makes sense. Let's have a couple of in-house people who do this and do this devotedly, and it's paying off. Like, their own salaries are easily paid for by the activity that they bring.
One great project.
Done. And, well, more than that, of course. And it's interesting because the Escambia County does not have grant writer. What is Escambia County? And I asked Wes Moreno about this, and he said in his philosophy, the grant writer has to go to the department head and work with the staff so much that it winds up being as much time effort by the department head or department members in order to put the grants together that you might as well just have them do it themselves, is kind of his philosophy. I don't think I agree with that philosophy, but I understand the argument.
No, I understand the argument, but I would not agree with it because I have seen grants that are submitted by people that don't know how to do them, and they're instantly taken and thrown off this was not done correctly.
Right, it's like submitting it in the wrong font and handwritten. That's what it's like, basically.
Right,
yeah.
Send it back, do it again. So you're really doubling your efforts, tripling your efforts sometimes because this grant gets sent back three or four times before it even gets accepted to be considered.
Yeah.
So, yeah, having that expertise is something I think we should be investing in.
And, again, I think you see it pay off in Santa Rosa. You see it pay off in, City of Milton. You know, some of the stuff that they've done.
That's true.
Funding for the wastewater treatment plant because you have an outstanding grant writer working for them. And, you know, and we're seeing this in the city of Pensacola as well. One of the things that I wanted to talk with you guys a little bit about, it has been the big news of the day. We don't necessarily need to dwell on it much, but the indictment announced, even though we don't have the particulars for former President Trump, I have said about this that on the one hand, it looks clearly political. On the other hand, I remember how Republicans talked about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and perjury over a sex issue and how Democrats talked back then and now. And It seems so much like an inconsistent treatment, you know, between the former president, the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, the Biden administration, Hunter Biden. Like, just give me some consistency and I'll stick with you. And we just don't have it. Larry, your thoughts?
Well, I tell you, I believe that no one, whether you're a D or an R, is above the law.
Agreed. And
I totally believe that no one is above the law. And I think this thing's going to play out. And I think that we should see how it plays out. And again, we haven't even seen the charges. So
right. Yeah. Right. It's all no idea, whisper but, I mean, and assumptions. And yeah, right.
I mean, and you know, with these puntings on TV, and I watch all networks. I watch CNN, MSNBC, and I even turn on Fox sometimes. And, it's big news. It's they got to have something to talk about. And
sure.
I think last night it was on all night long.
Oh, sure.
But no one is above the law. And, you know, I being in politics, being an elected official for 10 years, I just wonder, I want to see what the charges are. And then I do realize that if it would have, I would have done some of these things that I'm kind of, that are being whispered about, I would have probably been prosecuted a long time ago.
Well, see, that's my thought is, my suspicion is that when you're talking about a case that's this old, that at this point you wouldn't have been. That's my concern,
right,
is that the average citizen wouldn't have been. And Trump is getting unfair overtreatment of a sort is part of my concern. But I'm totally with you. If we prosecute everybody the same way, prosecute everybody the same way.
I would agree completely, because at the end of the day, how you treat any Republican, how you treat a Democrat doesn't really matter, as long as it's fair and just across the board. And it does seem, like you said, very lopsided to me. So here, we're going to focus on this thing over here, but don't look in this corner over here, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of, both sides do it, you know. Here's the smoke.
Agreed.
Here's the smoke. Don't look at the fire. And, well, we can't be doing that. We have to, is this the most important thing right now for our country to be focused on? Is this what we should be talking about right now? Is this? I do want justice to be served, and if there was wrong done there, and whether I believe there was or wasn't, I mean, wasn't the biggest fan of the man. He had some policies that I agreed with, but as a person, I was not like, hey, woo.
Yeah. I've met Donald Trump several times, and I met him before he got in politics. I actually met him a few times. But, you know, the other thing is, and you made an interesting point.
I love how you didn't elaborate at all.
Yeah. On,
I have met him. Next topic.
Yeah, I've met him.
I'm waiting for the story.
Yeah, I know, right?
I've met him a few times, been around him. And the thing about it is it does distract us from the real issues at heart, the economy, things that are happening in our country that we really should be focusing on. We shouldn't be looking at the past of whatever you're claiming happened and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we really should be facing on and talking and discussing and trying to find solutions for the real issues that are affecting our country and our citizens.
Like the current things.
You mean like, you know, having a debt ceiling and a budget and a military
A
and a threat from
imagine.
China.
Right.
You know, some relatively important things going on.
Yeah, instead of like, you know, the election was stolen. Okay, well, yeah, right. But it's kind of like beating a dead horse. That's over with, dude. Let's move forward and let's move on to the issues that are affecting our country right now. This other stuff to me is a big waste of time. And I hate it, and I think it hurts our country. I think our country is very divided, and it's kind of sad. It's really sad. And
who would have thought that President Trump would be the one to unite the Republican Party by getting indicted? And now everybody is on his side in his defense. Even Mike Pence and Ron DeSantis have come out and said this is absolutely outrageous and horrendous. The great uniter.
Right, yes.
By being the target.
All right.
That's actually happened.
Because you can clearly say, and I think that's important, because there's no way in the world Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis are Trump fans.
Right, they're definitely not. Right.
But they go, this is stupid.
Yeah.
We are beyond the pale here, and I think you're right. There are so many other issues that can be addressed, should be addressed, that we should be spending our time and taxpayer money on, but here we are with this.
Right.
The news cycle is focused on this. There's a lot of other stuff that we could be talking about.
Something that Mayor Reeves announced this week, in fact, when we were talking to him the other day, he announced this, that, you know, that we've been working on Graffiti Bridge for forever and ever, right? As a not native coming to Pensacola and watching the Graffiti Bridge saga over the last 9 years, my assessment is I think the Graffiti Bridge and the damage it does to trucks is the thing that Pensacolians love to complain about. You know, love to hate. Like, it's entertainment, and it's horrible, and it's, look at this, and almost to the point where we're going to miss it when it's gone.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's a public safety issue. But Mayor Reeves says not just that the signs, which are doing nothing or very little, but there's going to be a physical barrier, one of those, if you hit this, blah, you're going to hit that bridge. You know, if you hit this sign, you're going to hit that bridge. Do you think it'll be over? Do you think that'll be the end of the...
It's close to your business.
Larry,
I'll let you go
first.
You've
worked on this. You've looked at this for a long time.
Yeah, when I was on council, I was at District 4, and the graffiti bridge was in my district, and I know it's an issue. We even looked at, for another issue, actually looked at trying to raise it. Mm-hmm. And with train tracks, you've got to go about a mile on each side of it and start the incline.
Right.
And so we were looking at doing something with the trestle, and I was a part of the Emerald Coast Keepers at that time, and we're trying to convince CSX to take out the pilings.
With lowering mm-hmm. the road surface, same kinds of problems. It's just not really feasible, right?
Yeah, so we started, we looked at it, and it's an issue, but to resolve it, I like the idea of trying to do something to make the truck drivers more aware of it. I mean, I think we're all on Facebook and see the graffiti bridge stuff and see the trucks that get the top torn off of them and all. So I'm hoping that there is a solution, and I hope it works. And best of luck, Mayor Reeves.
But do you? Or are you going to miss
don't.
It? Or are you going to be
really
like, dang, no more great
well,
pictures?
Well, I haven't heard that. Are they talking about – I haven't heard that. Are they talking about closing the –
No.
They're gonna,
when you go through, like, the McDonald's drive-thru
and
it has the little chain-hangy things that hit your truck if you're not supposed to be there, he's going to put up something like that. We're not quite sure the exact specifications, because he's got to work with FDOT on this, because that's a state road
south
of the bridge.
It's so odd. That's so odd.
I know. North of the bridge, it's our road. South of the bridge, it's their road. Whatever.
But Andrew, what if it cuts down 50% of the trucks going? Yeah,
I'm with you.
Even if it cuts it down in half.
Rational Andrew wants it to never happen again. Entertained Andrew.
That's me. 100%. And when he was talking about
you're
it,
you're a good pastor.
When he was talking about it, I was like, man, that's gonna really stink that I don't get to see that funny stuff anymore. But he started talking about how much it cost not only the city but CSX
PPD,
that's gonna come out.
CSX,
I'm like, well, that makes a whole lot of sense. We do have to stop that, obviously.
It's such an adult answer.
I know. I'm gonna go spray paint, you know, a truck on it or something. I don't know. Could we I love the Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Let's just get him to do it. Let's get Rodman to do the barrier. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, if we can get some artists, I'm sure, you know, Ashton Hayward or something, somebody can be in, or Howard. I always get them backwards. Howard.
That's really weird.
It's my fault. All right, let's get another traffic break in here. Candy's got traffic on
Real
the fives.
Real quick, anybody here got stuck under the graffiti bridge before?
No, I have not.
I have not.
I guess that just makes me.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
In a truck? Thank you, TK Van. I know. So, I don't know. But I'm also torn. I'm with Craig. As we take a look around, we are watching a vehicle crash with a roadblock, I-10 westbound at mile marker 3. So right near the state line, there's debris in the left lane eastbound. So use caution. I'm not showing a roadblock, but I am showing it slow in that area. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. In the few remaining moments that we have left, pickleball. I feel like I'm being invaded by a virus is how it feels, because you know
back when soccer wasn't
popular.
Yeah,
we called it just pickle back in the day. I mean, back like, you know, 35 years ago in high school we played that kind of thing and it's fine, but now, man, you can barely find a tennis court anymore because everybody's playing the pickleball, and they're talking about, you know, we're on the verge of turning one of the warehouses at the port into a facility like this. You're in favor, Larry?
Well, I've got mixed feelings about it. Because
you're a tennis player.
I am a tennis player, and there's been some talk of taking one of the tennis courts.
It's like the BMX kids at the skate park.
Do they have one at Roger Scott?
That.
I thought they had a pickleball court at Roger Scott.
Yeah, I'm not sure of that.
Okay.
I'm not sure of that. I think there was some maybe on some designs.
Well, Bayview
from a long
is.
Time
I think
ago,
Bayview
sure.
is striped for pickleball. I know that PSC has theirs striped.
PSC
at least some
one.
Of them striped for pickleball. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but you know, I have real mixed feelings about it, and you know, you wonder if it's just a fad. And 4 years from now,
how dare
five
you.
Years from now.
No, it's
you know,
very true.
You know, no, it'll go away, and we spend a bunch of money. So I'm not sure. So mixed feelings about that.
I mean, are the warehouse, are we giving them any money to renovate that? Or is there, I mean, that's, I'd kind of to see the deal that
I think
was done
they,
for the port.
I, you know, it's a good question. I think they're paying for the renovation. I don't think the city is investing in it, but I could be wrong about that.
So who is they? I'm just curious. Who is that?
The developers, who want to build the facility. I don't remember who it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right, yeah, I remember for LEAP, we toured the facility, and they were talking about it at the time. And a lot of people seem
to be
excited.
And all it is right now is like
a,
just a storage for, like, you know, FPL or former Gulf Power used to always use it.
I think
so.
It's a vacant. Yeah, it's not being utilized for anything. And I'm totally fine with something that's not being utilized for anything, and you want to come and privately pay to have it done something. And if it's a fad, then you know.
The one concern, aside from the fad nature of it possibly, and it could be used for other things as well, but the one concern is this is sort of the beginning of, maybe some people are saying, the beginning of the end for the port, because you're starting to bring the public in and turn port facilities into public amenities, and, you know, what's the long-term end result of that?
I've been hearing that for 30 years.
There you go.
The end of the port. You know, the other thing is security issues, you know, out there.
Larry Johnson, Craig Heinzman, gentlemen, thank you so much. Have a great
weekend. Thank you very much.